Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Beshalach, we Amir to Hashem have five Divrei Torah. Just a quick overview of the Parsha before we get to the Divrei Torah. So at the end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Bo, Klal Yisrael got out of Egypt. And now at the beginning of this week's Parsha, Parshas Beshalach, it looks like they're lost. They're not going in the straight direction that we would have anticipated, going to the land of Israel. And Paro gets word. Paro gets word, seems that they are not on the straight way going to the land of Israel, and he has a change of heart. He strengthens his resolve and that of his people, and they begin the pursuit of Klal Yisrael into the desert. And in fact, the Egyptians very quickly caught up to Klal Yisrael, their military, fully armed, and Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells Klal Yisrael, "We will be okay. We are going to be great. Have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we need. Bitachon. Klal Yisrael is at the sea. And we have the Kriyas Yamsuf. We have the unbelievable blowing of the wind during the night. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu parts the sea. Klal Yisrael enters. The Egyptians chase after them. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, before and afterward, before the splitting of the sea, he stretches his hand out. When they get to the other side again, he stretches his hand out, and the waters return, drowning the Egyptians. And we have Klal Yisrael saved, celebrating. Moshe leads the men, Miriam leads the women, singing the beautiful song. We have the Shira. And then right afterward, unfortunately, we have the height of the Shira and the tremendous Kiddush Hashem. But then we have the bitter incident of the Meimara, the Mayimimara, as the Pasuk says, that they got out and the waters were bitter. And Klal Yisrael, they complained because the waters were bitter. Just, I guess we're still in the introduction, but I'll give a bonus to our Torah. I guess this will be number six. I love it so much. Unplanned, but it says as follows in Perek Tesva, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayavo Marasa, Klal Yisrael got to Marav, Leyachul Ishtot Smaimi Marav, they couldn't drink the water there, Kimarim Hem, literally, because the water was bitter. And that's why they called the place Marav. And I heard a beautiful vort a number of years ago, and it went as follows. Typically, we read this Kimarim Hem because the water was bitter, but in fact, the drasha goes as follows, that the Hem, it doesn't say Kimarim Kimarhu, that the water was bitter, but Marim Hem, that they were bitter, referring to Klal Yisrael. And that means that they had a negative view, a negative attitude. And anyone with a negative attitude, you could have the most wonderful thing. It could be the greatest piece of pizza, it could be the greatest sushi, it could be the greatest Gemara, it could be the greatest grade of whatever it is. But somebody who has a negative attitude, if they're mar, if they're bitter, everything is going to be terrible. And that's why it says Kimarim Hem, Klal Yisrael had a negative attitude. And that's why the water, it's referring to them and not to the water. Okay, continuing. After the Mei Mariva, we have again various issues. We have concerns over food and water. And Moshe Rabbeinu gives instructions. We're about to get the man, and he tells Klal Yisrael how it has to be handled with the eating of the man, collecting, gathering, etc. And we have the introduction to Shabbos, because that's when Erev Shabbos, you have to take a double portion. And towards the end of the parsha, we have the Rephidim issues. They arrive at Rephidim. And again, we have the issue of water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, hit the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu does so. The water comes forth. And we have the unprovoked attack from Amalek against Klal Yisrael. And we have Yeshua who leads the battle against Amalek. And Moshe Rabbeinu has his hands up famously. And he is assisted by Aharon and Hur. Hur is Miriam's son. They are atop looking over the battlefield. Moshe's hand stretched upward. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amalek has got to go. We need to eradicate Amalek. Okay, we're going to start Amir Tashem with our first of the Divrei Torah. The first one is actually one we have seen before, but I love it so much, so we'll do it anyway. And it says in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, it says Yud Ches, Yud Tes, that Klal Yisrael, they came out of Mitzrayim, Chamushim, armed. And what was Moshe Rabbeinu involved in? Moshe Rabbeinu was involved, Vayikach Moshe es Atzmos Yosef, he took the bones of Yosef, with, and that's what, instead of being involved in the booty and looting Mitzrayim as the rest of Klal Yisrael were, Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in taking out the Atmos, Yosef, the coffin of Yosef, in order to bury Yosef in Eretz Yisrael, as Yosef had commanded, requested. So the Kli Yakar says beautifully that we have such a contrast here, Bnei Yisrael being involved in the Bizas Mitzrayim, that they were looting Mitzrayim and taking the gold and the silver and whatever other booty they found. And Moshe Rabbeinu, again, he's involved in mitzvahs. And that's why he points out, if we look at the language of the Pasuk, Vayikach Moshe es Atzmas Yosef Imo, that Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef. It doesn't end there. It says Imo with him, together with him. And the point here is that when it comes to gold and silver and wealth and so many other things, almost everything, as we say, as is commonly said, you can't take it with you. After Me'av Ashrei, when somebody passes away, none of that comes with us, but there's only one thing that comes with us, and that's our mitzvahs. Our mitzvahs, the chesed we do, the learning that we do, that is something that comes with us. And accordingly, it says in the, it says, no, lo yered acharav kivado, you're not going to take your cover with you, you're not going to take any of that, but the mitzvahs come with you, and says the Kli Yakar, well, that's why the pasuk says, vayikach Moshe es atzmas Yosef imo, together with him, is not only referring literally to take the bones together with him, but in the world to come as well, that he took the bones with Yosef to the world to come. In other words, this mitzvah that he was involved in, that is something that he took with him for posterity. We are moving forward to Vort number 2. It's actually on the same Pasuk, and we're going to read what the Yalkut brings, quoting a Pasuk from Mishlei Perek Yud. It says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvah. Somebody who is really a Chacham in his heart, he will take with him mitzvahs. And it says, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. This is exactly what we said before. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he take? What mitzvahs did he take? At the time that Klal Yisrael were involved in the booty, he was involved with the Atzmas Yosef, taking care of the bones of Yosef, taking care that he's going to be buried properly in the land of Israel as requested. So the question, or the statement is as follows by the Baal Avnei Nezer, but truth be told, Klal Yisrael was also doing a mitzvah. They were taking out the gold and silver, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you have to do that. That was a mitzvah that they were involved in as well. So why are we effectively saying Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in a mitzvah and they weren't involved in a mitzvah? They were involved in a mitzvah, an important mitzvah, taking out the booty from Mitzrayim. But truth be told, says the Avnei Nezer, that there is an important distinction, a huge difference between the mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in and the mitzvah that Klal Yisrael was involved in. And that's what this Yalkut is referring to. Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvah, that's talking about Moshe. What was the Chochmah of Moshe? He had a choice between mitzvahs. He can be involved in taking the gold and the silver and the bones of Yosef. They're both mitzvahs. They're both taking things from Mitzrayim. The fundamental difference between them is when somebody is taking gold and silver and wealth, that is something that is a mitzvah, but it's also a personal benefit to themselves. They are benefiting significantly, acquiring that wealth. That is very different from the mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in. He was involved in a mitzvah, taking the bones of Yosef. That was not something that he would at all personally benefit from. He's not going to have wealth, health, etc. from that. He's not going to have material benefit from that. Chose Moshe Rabbeinu through the Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvah. I'm going to do the mitzvah that is a greater mitzvah. Why is it a greater mitzvah? Because I'm not benefiting personally from it. And accordingly, that's why it says Vayikach. That's what it says. Vayikach, he took Moshe's Atzmos Yosef. What is Vayikach? Ein kicha elashon hagbah. What is vayikach? To take is something that is lifted, that is elevated. It because when somebody does a mitzvah that is not for his personal benefit, but it's simply through altruistic reasons to do good, to do a mitzvah to help somebody else, not for my own personal benefit, that is something that elevates that individual. If we're doing a mitzvah that we are benefiting from, it's not such an elevation. But we are doing a mitzvah that is not for our personal benefit, that elevates us. That's Vayikach. That's the aliyah that Moshe Rabbeinu had. And in fact, we can say the same thing when it comes to doing various mitzvahs. We can do them and benefit personally, or we can do them with the right kavanas that we're not doing it for our personal benefit. For example, the mitzvah of having wine on Yontif, or according to some, to have meat on Yontif, or to have Onik Shabbos, beautiful food and clothing on Shabbos. Are we doing it because we enjoy it? That's also good to enjoy it. That's Onik Shabbos. But ultimately, the higher level is to do it because of the mitzvah. We should also benefit indirectly. But if our ultimate motive, if our initial and our primary motive is that we're doing it because we enjoy it, that's not the ideal mitzvah. Doing it because it's a mitzvah, doing it because we have a tzivui, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do it, that's primary. And benefit also, but if we do it with the right motivations, it's a greater mitzvah, as we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu right here. Doing a mitzvah without personal benefit is a higher level than doing it when you choose a mitzvah that has personal benefit. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's on Perek Yudalet Pasuk Chafale Vayasem Ha'am Hayam Lecharava VeYifku Amayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the sea to land, to damp land, but turned it to land. The sea split and the water split. VeYifku Amayim. So there's an interesting cryptic medrash that says as follows: Hayam Ra'a VeYanos. So that the Yam Suf, the sea saw and it ran away, meaning it split. We're running. What did it see? Asked the Medrash. Arono shel Yosef Ra. It saw the Aron, saw the coffin of Yosef, and because it saw the coffin of Yosef, that's why it split. What is going on here? So the Drash Vayiyun explains as follows, that in fact, the water did not want to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. It didn't want to split. And it says, we're greater than you. Are you telling us what to do? You're telling us we should split? I don't want to listen to you. I outrank you. Why do I outrank you? Because water was created on the third day of creation, while man, humankind, was only created on the sixth day of creation. So we came first. We came first. We outrank you. I don't have to listen to you whatsoever. That was the mindset of the water. Split? No, we're not going to do it. However, says the Medrash, when it saw the Aron of Yosef, the coffin of Aron of Yosef, that is when the water decided to split. Why did it decide? Why that change? Because the message was as follows. When they saw Yosef, they had the amazing epiphany, the realization that it's not that somebody who is older, who came first, that is what is going to dictate greatness. How did they learn that from Yosef? Because Yosef was the youngest of the brothers, effectively. There was also Binyamin, but of all the other brothers, he was the youngest. And he was the youngest when they all came to visit him without his brother Binyamin. So they all came to him and they subjugated themselves to Yosef. They were in fear of Yosef. He was the king and they were not. They were mishtachave. They bowed down to him. And it was because of his being a king that they really subjugated themselves to him, even though he was younger, even though he was not their age and a smaller shape, etc. Nonetheless, he was the king. So we see here, and this was the realization of the water, that it's not about age. It's not a matter that we came first, but it's a matter of what you accomplish in your life. And we accomplished, Yosef accomplished amazing things, even though he was younger than the other brothers, but because he was so accomplished, they really subjugated himself. And that was the epiphany of the water when it saw the Aron. We don't want to split. We're older than you. We were created. Mankind, we're going to listen to you. We were created on the third day. You were created on the sixth day. But when they saw the Aron of Yosef, they realized that it's not about who is here first, but who can accomplish more. And that is when, according to the Drash Vayun, that the Yam said, okay, you want us to split. We're going to split. As the Medrash said, Ayam Rava Yanos, when the Yamsu saw, and it split. What did it see? It was only when it saw the Aron of Yosef that it really agreed that it was going to split. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We are in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Chaf Hey. It says, Vayorehu Hashem Eitz. This is at the time of Mara. The water was bitter. And it was bitter. Klal Yisrael couldn't drink it. They named the place Mara. So as a solution to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe a tree. And Moshe Rabbeinu took that tree, a tree is not very sweet, and he threw it into the water, which was also not sweet, bitter and bitter, and apparently two negatives make a positive, and the water became sweet. So there's a cryptic medrash again on this pasuk, Vayoreu Hashem Eitz, Vayimtuku Amayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the Eitz, the tree, and it sweetened the water. So the medrash says as follows, Hereyu Dav Rabin HaKtorah. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe Rabbeinu was something from the Torah, Shenim Shalah L'Eitz Chaim, that it is similar, this situation that we're seeing, with having to sweeten the water is similar to the Eitz Chaim, the tree of life. We don't know what that means yet. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu mamtik mar b'mar. A Kadosh Baruch Hu sweetened something that is bitter with something that is bitter. That's what the Medrash says, and we need to explain what is going on here. So the Taurus Moshe has a fascinating explanation. And he says, if we look at two types of people, let's look at the Talmud Chacham first. The Talmud Chacham who dedicates all of his time to learning. He's so into his learning, but what's going to be very difficult for him? The Parnassah. Doesn't have a Parnassah. He doesn't have the comforts of life. And that indeed makes life difficult. So on the one hand, he is involved and has a wonderful life of Ruchnias, but he has a terrible life when it comes to Parnassah and comforts, or even the basic necessities of the world. On the other hand, if we look at somebody who's in business, he's very into his business, he's having success in business, he's really enjoying his business even, but that's neither here nor there. He's having financial success, so he has more than the bare necessities, he has tremendous comforts in this world. But what is he lacking? Where is he bitter? He is bitter when it comes to Ruchnias. That is something that he is totally lacking. And he feels a lacking in his life because he has that bitterness, that lacking of Ruchnias. So on the one hand, we have the Talmud Chacham who has Ruchnias, but he is bitter when it comes to Parnassah. And on the other hand, we have the businessman, somebody who is working and having success. Then when it comes to materialism, very happy. But when it comes to spirituality, bitterness, doesn't have sibuk, really doesn't feel that he has what he needs in the spiritual realm. And our solution is to couple these two together. Each one has a different bitterness, and the solution, says the Taurus Moshe, is what we're going to do is we're going to partner that working individual, the worker, with the learner. And the worker, somebody who's working and earning a parnasa, is going to support the person who is learning. And accordingly, we are going to match both of where they are lacking. The person who is learning is lacking in sustenance, and the person who is working is lacking in spirituality. So the person who is working is going to take care of the sustenance of the person who is learning. Then the person who is learning is going to be learning on behalf of the person who is supporting him. So they will each make up for what the other is lacking. That one is mar and one is mar. They're mar, they're bitter in different areas. And each is going to sweeten the other where they are lacking. That is the partnership between the two, and accordingly, let's get back to our Medrash. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says we have bitter water, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu sows him a tree also that's bitter. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said something, what is going to happen here? I'm going to sweeten the bitter with the bitter. This is going to be just like, as we saw in the Medrash, Hey Reyu Davar Min HaTorah Shanim Shulele Eitz Chaim. This is going to be just like the Eitz Chaim. What's the Eitz Chaim? Eitz Chaim Hi La Macha Zipikim Ba. That's somebody who is going to support Eitz Chaim. This is the tree of life for somebody who is supporting somebody who is learning. In other words, it goes as follows, that the person who is learning is going to support the worker, and the worker is going to support the learner, each in their deficiencies, each when they are bitter, and one, the bitterness of the other one, each because of those two bitternesses, they're supporting the other. Together, it will become sweet through that partnership. That's mar b'mar. When we take those two bitternesses and we bring them together, it becomes sweet. Then that is exactly what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu took the tree, bitter tree, together with the bitter water, and it became sweet so Klal Yisrael could drink from it. We are now moving forward to our last of our Torah, number 5. We are in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the war against Amalek, and the Pasuk tells us as follows, Vayakasher Yari Moshe Yado V'Gavar Yisrael, and when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, that is when Klal Yisrael was winning militarily. On the other hand, V'Kasher Yaniach Yado V'Gavar Amalek, on the other hand, when Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands down, that is when Yamalek was winning militarily. And the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Tes asked the following question. What? The hands of Moshe Rabbeinu are waging the war? That if they're above, they're winning. If they're down below, is that what's going on? The hands? The hands are in control of everything? That can't be what's going on. Rather, the Mishnah says as follows. Ela bizman sheyishol mistaklin klapei mala. The concept is here is when Klal Yisrael are looking up, like the hands are above, they're up. When they look up to Kadosh Baruch Hu, mishabdim es liban laviyam sheshamayim, and they subjugate their hearts, their desires, their lives to Kadosh Baruch Hu, hayu miskarvin. That is when Klal Yisrael were winning the war. Sayyus Miskabim is referring to Klal Yisrael. When they had their heads in the game, and when they were looking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then they had bitachon, and they were committed to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's when they were winning. V'im lav, however, if they did not have that commitment to Kadosh Baruch Hu, hayu noflim, that is when they were failing. That's what the Mishnah says. Now the Sfas Emes asked the following question. It's still difficult to understand. If we're really focusing on the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu would bring Nitzachon to Klal Yisrael. If they were up, Klal Yisrael was looking up, they were winning. If the hands were down, then the Klal Yisrael wasn't looking up to Hashem, so they weren't winning. So why did he ever put his hands down? What's going on here? And he had Aharon and Hur helping support his hands. Doesn't seem to make sense. So he says a totally different shot. It seems as of now that the hands were up, or Klal Yisrael, they were looking up at the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what was leading toward victory. He says it's very different what's going on here. Bizman shel Yisrael mefanim libam la'avim shebashamayim. It's when Klal Yisrael, when they turn their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is when the hands of Moshe would be able to be up. In other words, this isn't a top-down situation of Moshe Rabbeinu or the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu inspiring Klal Yisrael, but rather it's bottom-up. It's when Klal Yisrael had their heads in the game, when they were looking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, when they were subjugating themselves to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's when Moshe was able to hold his hands up. And accordingly, when the Mishnah says as follows, when they were looking up and they were subjugating themselves, hayu miskabrim, it's not talking about that's when they, Klal Yisrael, was being successful militarily. Hayu miskabrim is referring to the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Klal Yisrael below, bottom roots up, what do they call it? Grassroots. When it was from the bottom, the grassroots up, that is what enabled Moshe Rabbeinu to keep his hands up. But when Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, weren't focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to keep his hands up. And what's going on here is what we're seeing is the responsibility, onus, and opportunity is on Klal Yisrael. The bottoms up inspiration came from them, and they were able to inspire Moshe Rabbeinu. We, as normal people, we can inspire the leaders. That's what's going on here. And when we have our heads in the game and we're focused on doing the right things and mitzvahs and having bitachon, that's when our leaders will have success. On the other hand, if we're not, then unfortunately our leaders suffer as well. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.